Let's all pray together. Today,
by the high power of the Holy Spirit,
I will hear and apply a truth to my life that I may be transformed into His image. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I know, I thought it was just over
me. That's why you had to hand it off to me.
Yeah, it was right here. We could have made it. If you would take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 24, I'm going to actually read from the book of Psalms while you're getting there. And I want to share something with you this morning that every time I've ever shared this word anywhere, there's always been a fight against this word. And I've been planned on teaching this word three times prior to today, and it didn't work out. And I finally got to where I thought, I'm not even going to say out loud what I'm going to teach so that I can make it this Sunday. Because this is a message that came to me several years ago, but I'm telling you, every time I look at it, it's something that you can reapply today. And it's something I may not say anything you've never heard before. You probably know everything I'm fixing to say. But if this can stir us to remember, to hear, and to move forward, it'll make all the difference in the world. And I have to believe that for every one of us here today, I do believe this with all my heart, that God knew before the foundation of the world that we'd be here. He knew you'd be sitting right where you are.
Yeah.
He knew that this word would be shared and that there's something for each of us today.
Yeah, that's right.
And that there, my prayer is that the impartation of God would happen regardless. Amen?
Yeah.
Regardless of me, regardless of my attitude, regardless of the week, regardless of what I thought about praise and worship, regardless of my finances, regardless of anything, regardless of how hectic life has been, that today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will hear and apply a truth to my life that I may be transformed into His image. And that it will make a difference today. But while you're at Matthew 24, let me just read Psalms 133 real quick for us. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded his blessing, life forevermore. Now those last two verses should get our attention because it says there the Lord has commanded his blessing, life evermore. And I don't know about you guys, but if the blessing of God is life evermore, then I want to be in the position to receive the life evermore that God has for me. And he says that in order to get there, that the brethren have to dwell together in unity. Now, how many know the church does not have a reputation of dwelling together in unity? We fight about all the strangest and anything so we can. I have to deal with an attitude toward the church from a lot of people, and even my own children. I've had to deal with the attitude about the church. But I want you to know this is who Jesus died for. There's something about this group of people that God loves them so much. He sent his only begotten son to die, to live, to be born, to live a sinless life, to die, to experience Friday, and then to walk through or come through on Sunday and do what he did for you and for me. And he did it for the church.
Right.
He did it for a lost and dying world, but so that the lost and dying world would become the church. And he says that there's something about the church that when the church walks in unity, that there the Lord will command his blessing, life forevermore. I want to see the blessing of God. I want to walk in the life of God. I want to walk in the forevermore that God has. Now, I personally believe that the day you get saved, the day that you acknowledge Jesus Christ, as Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, Peter, upon that revelation, I'm going to build the church. The revelation is that Christ is the Lord. And he said, the day that revelation began in me was the day eternity began. Mm-hmm. I began to walk in eternity that day. Because I will live forevermore. Now, what the question on this side of heaven is, am I going to live in the life of God and in the blessing that God commands? If I am, it's because I'm going to walk in unity with the brethren and the sister. And I'm going to find a place to walk in a place of unity and fellowship and flow and love regardless.
Right.
And y'all, that's a good old Southern word. That's something I've learned that comes not from the way people treat me, but from the attitude that's on the inside of me and from what I do with that. Now, I want to talk to us on the back of the notes there. The word at the top of that is the word scandalon. First of all, let's go to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to read something there, and then we're going to end up at Luke 17. In Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to read verses 10 through 12. And if you've got a red letter edition, you see Jesus is speaking here. And he says, and then many will be offended. The word many there actually translated is the word majority. And then the majority will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And y'all, he's talking about the church. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. He says, and there's so many places to go with this. There's so many places to go with this. He says, and then the majority will be offended. He's talking about the latter days. The majority will be offended. You see, there is coming to the church an offense. As a matter of fact, if you'll run real quick over to Luke 17, verse 1, look what Jesus says there. He says, Luke 17 and verse 1. He's in Luke 17 and verse 1, he says, then he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. He says, Jesus said, it's inevitable. Offenses are going to come. Then he says, but woe unto them through whom they come. But he says, it's inevitable that offenses are going to come. That word offenses there is the word that's on the back of your notes, is the word scandalon. That's the Greek word. And we get our word scandalize from that word. And that word offenses is the word scandalon, and the word scandalizing. Let me tell you what a scandalon is. This is so good. If we can get this one point, we can have church go home. We'll see. It's all in here, okay? It's not up here, it's all in here. But if we can get it, we can get this and go home, because this is so important. You see, what a scandalon is, in those days, they would dig a big pit to catch, like, say, a lion that was attacking the village or something that was coming against the people, a wild beast. They would dig a big pit. And then in this pit, they would take this stake, and on that stake, they would put a huge chunk of meat, a bait. That hunk of meat is the scandalon. And what that meat is, and then what they would do is they put that steak down there where that meat would smell, and the animal would smell that meat. But they would put over that trap branches. So you can see there was a big old hole in the ground. And you see the beast would smell the bait. And the beast would go after the bait. The beast would smell the scandalon. And the beast would go after the scandalon, and the scandalon would put the beast in a trap. And Jesus says, it's inevitable. Offenses, scandalon, the bait is out there. It's coming. And it's up to us to understand and to choose not to grab hold of the bait. Because the bait, the scandalon, the offense is designed to put us in a trap. And see, once I'm in a trap, I can't grow. Once I'm in a trap, I can't move forward. Once I'm in a trap, I cannot experience life forevermore. Because there's something about this trap that it's designed. I call it the bait of Satan. John Brevere has a series called The Bait of Satan. And that's what this is all about. It's the bait of Satan. It's designed to keep us in a place where we cannot move forward, where we cannot come into all that God has for us, where we cannot even receive the life forevermore that God has for us. Does it make us not saved? No. Does it make us go into hell? No. It depends on how far we take it. It could. But at this point, we're talking about born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, word-quoting, Bible-reading, good Christians who have found a place in life that have gotten offended, taken the bait of Satan and fallen in the trap. And when you take the bait of Satan, when you take that offense, and Jesus says, y'all, offenses are coming. Somebody's going to rub the fur the wrong way. Something's going to happen that's going to cause you to look at life and say, well, if that's the way they're going to be, I don't want to be a part of it. Well, guess who's in the trap? Not them. Well, Brother Mike, you don't know what they said to me. You don't know how they treated me. You don't understand what's happened to me. You don't know how they lied on me. You don't know how they told stuff about me. You don't know. I'm telling you, I'm the biggest example of that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, they told all kind of matters, but the greatest example is Jesus. And you know, Jesus didn't take the bait. And if we understand that that offense is out there to bring us into a trap, and it's to put us in a hole, because in the hole we're not of any use to anybody for any reason for anything.
Right.
And that bait is out there. And the scandalon is designed for something that's coming. Jesus said, I want you to be careful. I want you to look. It's inevitable. Offenses are coming. Somebody's going to say something that's going to hurt your feelings. Somebody's going to do something that's going to make you feel bad. Somebody's going to do something that's going to make you feel like you want to be mad. But you see, the offense is not designed to bother them. The offense, the only problem offense becomes is when I grab hold of the bait. They spoke all manner of evil against Jesus. And what did he do? He kept his mouth shut. He said, let thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will. Not what I want, but what you want. I'm going to walk through this thing. I am not going to take the offense. I'm going to walk through this thing. I'm not going to grab the bait. The scandalon. Because it will scandalize my life. It will put me in a position that I can't grow, Brian. And if I can't grow, I can't hear God. If I'm offended, I can't hear God. If I grab hold of that bait, then I don't have the ears of the Spirit. Until I get to the place to deal with that, it doesn't do it. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but I like this kind of stuff. It's good stuff. In Genesis, I tell you what, I'm just going to paraphrase because I've got so many scriptures. And y'all know this. I'll tell you the scriptures. You can write them down if you want to test me, test me. It's fine with me. But look at this. Jesus said it is absolutely expedient. It's imperative. He said it's inevitable that offenses must come. So he's saying, watch out, believer, because there are going to come things into your life like the bait of a trap. And if you take it, if you take the offense, you're going to fall into the trap, and it's you who are going to be trapped. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 14, we find the story of Cain and Abel. And Cain and Abel brought offerings to the Lord. Now, one brought an offering of meat, which is what the Lord was looking for. But the other brother, Abel brought a blood sacrifice. But Cain, he brought a sacrifice of his own labor and of his own hands. And he expected his sacrifice because it was of his labor and his own hands to be acceptable unto God. And the word says God rejected his sacrifice. Because there's something that we need to understand about God. When God asks us to do something, it's God's will done God's way that never lacks God's power. Not God's will my way. God's will God's way. That's why he gave us the instruction book. Because there's a lot of people trying to tell us God's way that aren't like the book. But when we do it like the book says, we know God's will done God's way never lacks God's power. So Cain brought an offering of vegetables. He brought the offering from the ground. Abel brought what God asked of him, a meat offering. God accepted Abel's, but he rejected Cain's. In verse 8, right after Cain got mad, and he slew his brother Abel. You see, there's something about offenses. When we grab that offense, that it don't just stop there. We go from one sin to another, and from one sin to another. And he got so offended because God didn't accept his offering. Now, you know, we stop and think, well, that was an extreme offense, but we're talking about between me and God. You know, and God didn't accept my offering and accepted my brother's. Well, instead of trying to deal with it, what he did was he killed his brother. Now, we all understand Cain and Abel are the sons of Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
We're talking about the beginning of mankind. And the scandal has already started. Already started. And he killed his brother. In verse 8, God comes to Cain and he says, where's your brother? Now, how many know God knew where his brother was? So what he was looking for, and I believe this with all my heart, I believe what God was looking for was a place of repentance.
Confession.
A confession. That's what God was looking for. But now listen, this is what he said. He said, I don't know. Number one, he lied. And then number two, and this really gets to me because this is what happens when we get in a scandal and we take offenses. He got an attitude with God. He said, am I my brother? How do you know God knew all along? So first of all, he grabbed the bait because the offense was his offering wasn't acceptable. Well, you know what? If you learn God's will done God's way, then you say, instead of getting offended, I'd say, well, I'm going to get it right. I'll go get a lamb or I'll go get whatever I need to get. I'm going to get something to get my sacrifice right. But instead of doing that, it's like, God, you didn't accept what I brought. Why didn't you accept what I brought? And because he didn't, he got offended at God. Then he lied to God. I don't know. And then he got an attitude with God. Now, how many know God's big enough to deal with our attitudes?
Yeah.
But see, this is the beginning of us understanding that people do get attitudes with God. And see, when you grab that scandal on, you go from one sin to another. You just dig the hole deeper. And then the deeper you go, the harder it gets to start getting out. Because there's some folks that's been living in offenses so long in their life, they don't remember where it began. We all know somebody like that. As a matter of fact, there are people who walk generationally in offenses. And they just relive them every generation in another man, in another wife. I know a family that the women hate men. And no matter, it's amazing. You get around them and they hate men. I've been around men generationally that don't know how to treat women. And it's a generational thing. It keeps coming up. And it started with somebody's offense. Somebody's got to dig themselves out of that hole and stop that scandal line from continuing in the generations. Somebody's got to be man enough or woman enough to say, once and for all, I'm going to draw a line in the sand. And I'm going to walk above this, and I'm going to ask God for forgiveness, and I'm going to break this generational curse, and I'm going to see me and my children walk out of this thing and that thing not continue to grab us and hold us back. Somebody has to do it. Okay, that was in Genesis. Boy, am I skipping a lot of stuff, but that's all right. This is another example in 2 Samuel. King David was trying to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the city. And the first thing he did, he got so excited. He said, guys, let's go down there and get the Ark. So they get down there and one of his best men, some people call him Uzziah. I like to call him Uzzah. Uzzah gets down there and the oxen start moving. The cart starts pumping and the Ark starts to go like this. And Uzzah reaches up there and grabs hold of the Ark. And guess what? The power of God hit him and killed him. Now, see, there's a good opportunity to say, God, we're trying to do a good thing. We're bringing the presence of God back to the temple. Why on earth would a good man get killed? Because we're trying to do a good thing. Because God's will done God's way never lacks God's power. And it's amazing how many times we know something's good, but we don't get the mind of God on it. And we start trying in our own way and in our own strength. And when it don't work out like we think it ought to do, then we do like some folks did, like Cain did, and we get mad at God. Now David, he was a smart man. Instead of getting mad at God, David went away and he fasted and prayed. This is found in 2 Samuel chapter 6. David went away and he fasted and he prayed and he sought the mind of God and he found out that there was a certain way for the Ark of the Covenant to be carried. So he got so excited. And so David went back, and it's amazing, y'all, because offenses are coming. So David goes back with the people and he gets the priest and he gets the cart led in the right direction. He gets so excited that he gets in front of the covenant and he starts getting so excited and free in his praise and his worship, which it's amazing. This is another example of offense. David got so free in his praise and his worship that his wife, who's standing up in the tower, and she's looking out and she sees David acting like a fool before God. Because he's let go of his dignity, he's let go of his pride, he's let go of his religion, he's let go of his hurt, he didn't get offended that Uzzah got fried, he was just all right about it. And he was so excited about the temple coming, the presence of God coming into the temple, that he began to take out off his outer garments, and he began to dance before the Lord. And the Bible says that Micah, his wife, is standing up in the tower, and she's looking down, and she says, "I cannot believe what an idiot he's becoming." And she grabbed an offense. She grabbed a scandal on right there. And the Bible says she was barren from that day forward. There's something about a scandal on that we must be careful. Because if we think God's going to use us, if we grab that scandal on and hold up, we will be barren from that day forward. Good chance. Good chance. Because that's exactly the example of what happened to Micah. Then Jesus did lots of offending. You know, at one time he offended his own family.
Yep.
He did. But I want to get to this one. In Matthew chapter 11, we don't have to go there because I'm going to paraphrase this again. Now how many know, let me say this, John the Baptist knew who Jesus was. Do we agree? I mean, when Jesus come down across that hill and John's down there baptizing people, he stopped and Jesus come to the water because Jesus wants to follow the Lord in obedience to the baptism part. And John the Baptist stopped and he goes, "It's him." He said, "This is the one." He said, I'm not even worthy of latching his shoes. This is him. John the Baptist knew. This is him. He proclaimed it. This is the one I've been proclaiming about all this time, making a fool of myself for the whole world to know that Jesus is coming. And he said, "And he's here. This is him." And just a few chapters after that happened, John the Baptist gets captured and put in prison. He's in prison and he says to his disciples, or his friends, he says, "I want you to go to Jesus. And I want you to ask him something." He said, "Are you the one, or do we need to look for another?" We find John the Baptist offended. And Jesus said, let's look at scripture, Matthew chapter 6, chapter 11. This is so good. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew's this way. Look. He says, in verse 1, he says, "Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed there from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and he said to him, this is what he asked them to ask Jesus. He said, "Are you the coming one, or do we go look for another?" And he had just heralded that Jesus was the one. And now that he's in prison, and Jesus didn't come make a prison visit, he didn't give John a call and say, "Hey, I heard things are not going too well, and I'm just so sorry." Jesus didn't call and say, "Hey, I'll be sure to make sure that you're on the prayer list and that everybody's going to take care of everything."
But John the Baptist got offended because Jesus didn't do what he thought he ought to do, which was come get him out of prison. And he said, are you the coming one or do we look for another? After he already made a fool of himself at the creek, explaining that Jesus was the one. Look at this. And Jesus had said to him, go tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And, oh, by the way, telling this to, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Jesus, he grabbed hold of that quickly. He knew John the Baptist grabbed the scandal. He grabbed the bait. And then you can read on through how that is. I've got so much to say about this, but I've said what I wanted to say this morning. I'm just going to end up, I'm going to get somewhere and end something. Oh, you remember the story when Lazarus died? I get so excited about stories. When Lazarus died. Now, do you think Mary Martha got offended? He died. I mean, they had told him, you better come. Lazarus is going to die. And before he got there, guess what? Lazarus died. And the Bible says Mary, who had been not serving like Martha, she had been at the feet of Jesus. The Bible says that when Jesus was coming, it wasn't Mary who greeted Jesus. Mary was offended because he didn't come fast enough. And the Bible says that Martha was the one that greeted Jesus, the one who was about serving, who got kind of, she had opportunity to get offended when Jesus said, Mary's partaking of the good thing. But instead of getting offended, I think Martha learned a lesson. And she said, I'm going to find myself at the feet of Jesus and not doing all this servant stuff. Unless he asks me to. But it's interesting that when Lazarus died, it's not Martha, it's not Mary who greeted Jesus. Mary's at home offended because her brother died. She even comes back and says, if he'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And how many times we need to understand that when God doesn't move according to the way we think he ought to move, he's got a greater plan.
Yes, he does.
He's got a greater plan. He's got a greater way. And most of the time, church, it's because it's so that we can't touch the glory of it. When it happens, we look back and say, only God. Only God could have done that. But you see, the bait of Satan is for us to grab that scandal off, to grab that offense, to get mad at the church, to get mad at the preacher, to get mad at the elders, to get mad at the worship people, to get mad at the person standing in front of you or standing behind you. Isn't it amazing? Once you get in offensive mode, everything offends you.
Everything.
You can drive down the street and see a pack of flowers and you'll see a bee right in the middle. If I was over there, that bee would sting me. I mean, we start finding anything becomes a place of offense. We find ourselves digging and digging and digging that trap. Harder, down deeper and deeper and deeper. Harder to get out of it. I said all that to say this. I'm going to close. Isn't that interesting? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. And I'm not closing because I'm in a hurry. I'm closing because I just really feel like I said what I needed to say. Pastor kind of touched on this last week, and I'm going to touch on it, and we're going to go home. In verse 15 of Matthew chapter 18, it says, Moreover, brother, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his faults between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. Now, this is the way to deal with the bait. This is the way to deal with the scandal. This is the way to get out of the trap. If your brother offends you, well, see, if he hadn't offended me, then there's no need to do this. But if he's offended me, then I'm at the point to grab the bait. And how many times have we let things slide because we said, well, I just don't want to deal with that. Or I'm not a confronter. I'm not, you know, if your brother offends you, the word says, Brian, go to him. And if you go to him and you talk with him and he hears you, then, and Jonathan, if I go to you and say, man, you hurt my feelings, and you say, man, I wouldn't hurt your feelings for nothing in the world. And then many times that's where an offense comes from. Because he wouldn't hurt me on purpose. But if I go to him and I say, Jonathan, what you did offended me. And Jonathan says, well, Mike, I'm sorry. And I said, well, that's all I needed to hear. And we're fine. I've gained a brother.
But what if Jonathan comes to me and he says, Mike, you really offended me the way you looked at me or the way you said that or the way you acted like that. And I said, that's your problem. Well, see, he's not getting your brother. Actually, I've given you opportunity to add to the offense. Then what does the word say to do? It says, but if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. I love that. Now, wouldn't it be interesting if, and this is what I want to say. Number one, I want you to get that Ascandalon is the bait of Satan. And number two, I want you to hear this, because I think this is important. If you're offended at me, and you come to me, Samila, and you say, Mike, I really, maybe you didn't mean what you said, maybe you were having a bad day or whatever, but you know, this really rubbed me wrong, and I just want to make it right with you. And I said, you got a problem, girl. And you say, well, he's not trying to get reconciled to me. So Selena says, well, the Bible says if I can't gain a brother, then I need to take somebody with me. The Bible doesn't say, now go and tell some people and gossip about it.
No.
Wouldn't it be interesting if Samima says, you know what? If she goes over to Cindy and she says, Cindy, I want you to go somewhere with me. And she said, I want to talk to Mike. And she said, there's something between us that's not right. I want to get it right. But I don't want to involve you. I just want you to go with me. I just want you to know him. I won't tell you what it is. I won't tell you what he said. I won't tell you what he did. I just want to gain my brother. And I want you to go with me in a spirit of restoration. And then Selima comes to me and she says, Mike, I tried to come to you and you wouldn't hear me. And Cindy's here and I want you to know I haven't told her a word. Isn't it amazing how we love to get everybody on our side? Why, if I tell Cindy and I tell Peggy and I tell you and I tell Brian and I tell Jonathan, and they say, you know, you're right, he's wrong. All I've done is put bait out there for them to get in the same pit. Wouldn't it be interesting? Because the Bible doesn't say you got to tell them what it said.
No, me too.
Wouldn't it be interesting if she said, and she comes to me and she says, Mike, I love you enough, but I brought my sister. And she's not here because she knows. She's not here because I spread anything. She's here because we love you. And I just want to be reconciled to you. Wouldn't it be interesting? Wouldn't it be interesting? I just want to be reconciled. And she's here now. Now the word goes on to say, if that brother still won't hear you, then you bring it before the church. It's amazing sometimes we want to skip the middle there. We want to say, hey, let's just bring them to church and kick them out. They're not going to act like this. They're not going to look like this. They're not going to be like this. And they're going to talk like this. And they're going to worship like this. They're not going to pray like this. They're not going to dress like this. They're not going to drive like this. They're not going to eat like this. So we just need to move them out. So let's just all get offended at them. And you're not like us. So you need to go on. Isn't it amazing, church? And if most of us can go back to things that have offended us in our lifetime and find that when we took that offense, it put a trap on us. You know, in psychological terms, there's a thing called arrested progression. And what they say is when a child goes through a horrific event, or sometimes even an adult goes through a horrific event and they don't get closure on that event, then emotionally they don't grow from that point forward. It's arrested development. Many times, people who have experienced sexual abuse, there is an arrested development there, and they cannot have a normal relationship with someone because that arrested development, they've not come to a place of healing. The bait of Satan is out there to bring us to a place of arrested development. And if I'm offended, if I'm at a place where I've grabbed hold of the bait of Satan, I've grabbed a hold of the offense, I've grabbed a hold of the scandalon, then I cannot grow. I cannot move forward in God until I deal with it. And I think many times, church, we need to go back and find the heart of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faithful, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. When Samima went to Cindy and she said, I got a situation. I don't want to go into details.
I just want your support because I want to gain a brother. How many know that's the fruit of the Spirit?
And was it 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter? Love is patient, good, long-suffering, kind, gentle, all those good things. That's what love is. So if we put on the life of Christ, the mind of God, then we're going to respond to one another like Christians should. And y'all, if we'll start doing that, then we're going to see a lost and dying world and an upset, scandalized, offended church start seeing the true body of Christ. And if it starts with this group right here, there's not a room in Charlotte big enough to hold all the people that will come. Because everybody's looking for something that's like God. And the church is so full of offense and scandalons and pain and suffering and unfortunately unforgiveness that the church has been in arrested development. And it's time for somebody to stand up and say, I'm willing to break through that and go to Trip and say, I want to make it right. I want to be right with you. I want you to be right with me, whatever the cost. And I want us to make sure that life was right. And if Trip says, I don't want to hear what you got to say, then I grab Don and say, let's go talk to Trip. I just want, you know, I don't want you, you know. And I could even get to the point and say, he's in the other room. And he's here because he wants us, he's here for our restoration. He didn't even know why we're here. What a difference that would make for him and the way I talk to him. Instead of him saying, look, I've been told all these people. Yeah. What you did to me.
Exactly.
I've already told everybody, all these people know, so you better get this right with me. Or bless God, they're all going to know how mean and dirty and snaky you were to me. Everybody knows Trip wouldn't be that way. I should put that example back on me. But everybody knows. And I mean, if she came to me and she says, I told Cindy and Peggy and Judy and Brian and Jonathan and all these people, and they're praying for you, brother. Well, what a difference if she'd say, Mike, I just want to be your sister. I just want to be your brother. I just want to be in fellowship with you. I don't want that wall to be between us. And I'm not going to grab these scandalon. I'm not going to be offended at you. You know what? They spit on my Jesus. They spoke all manner of evil against him. They pierced his side with a spear. They took, y'all, when I was watching that video earlier, you know what I was thinking? It really happened. It really happened. It's not just a story. It's not just something that we think about and wonder and we all get goosey feelings because you know it would be nice. It really, really happened. They put a nail in his palm and put that nail through his palm into that wood. Put a nail through his shin or feet or whatever it was and went through there. That just hurts thinking about it. It really, really happened. And he didn't come against them. Yes, sir.
It was an anchor nail too.
Yeah.
There were anchor nails. I used to have a little cross. This religious person gave me, but it broke as well on the neck. And I still use the anchor nails that they drove in on Christ and used on the cross. And I don't have them now.
Isn't it amazing? It really happened. It really, really happened. They did all that to Jesus. And you know what? He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Wow. And isn't it amazing how we can walk through the hallways of church and somebody is thinking about something, they don't give us the look we think they're going to say, well, I'll be dumb brain. I'm going to give Sister so-and-so a talk. She didn't look at me. She walked right by me. She didn't even speak to me. Grabbing the bank.
Just one question. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Someone offends me.
And I go to them and say, you hurt my feelings. Mm-hmm. And then I go to see you. And I say, we can go with you to talk to you. And Cindy says what she did.
Then you say,
Never mind, I'd use somebody else.
No. Then you say, my whole reason for you going with me is to restore my relationship with that person. And I don't want to talk about it. I just don't see that there's any need in that. Wouldn't that be interesting? That's the way the church operated, instead of saying, let me tell you what Kelly did.
Wouldn't that be amazing? If we acted like Jesus.
Symptoms of the
babe?
How do you know if you have taken the bait?
Oh, you know how you know if you've taken the bait? Is every time you see that person, something goes,
exactly.
When you think that thought of cheer comes in your eye, you bit the bait.
Yeah, you bit the bait.
If there's a story you keep telling.
Oh, Lord help us.
If there's a story you keep telling, you can't get away from that story when it told you.
Yeah, make sure we get that on the table.
If there's a story you keep telling, I remember. Samina says to me, well, how's the weather today, Don? I go, you know, the weather's just fine, but when I was six, my daddy hit me in the back of the head. Well, then obviously I've got a bait that I took somewhere along the line. If there's a story you can't get away from, if there's a story you can't tell, if there's a thought that crosses your mind that brings a tear to your eye, If there's a twist on the inside of you at the mention of someone's name, you've taken a bite out of the bait.
And they're not in the trap.
No, you're in the trap.
I'm in the trap. That's amazing. The bait of Satan, designed to keep us in arrested development that we can't grow. And it keeps us from life forevermore. Yeah, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to leave this earth and be with Jesus. But between here and there, there's going to be a whole lot of trouble. Because one scandal on you usually leads to another, which will lead to another. And it's amazing how the first example we get goes from lying to attitude. Because that's usually what happens. If we go from lying to attitude, and we get an attitude. Do you know that there's one thing in your life that you totally possess that no one can control? That's your attitude. No one can control your attitude but you. You say, well, you don't know how I feel when I get around so-and-so. You got a skin on. You bit the bait. It's a trap. And it's like when you see that in your mind's eye, you see that hole, and you see that stick, and you see that scandal on, and you see the brush, and you smell it, and you think of all the times when somebody rubbed your fur the wrong way, and you grabbed hold of that knee, and you fell through the branches, and you're in the pit, and have been there from that day to today. But the neat thing about our God, what I told Caleb when he left for Afghanistan, 1 John 1:9, that if I will confess my sin, He's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So I take that bait and I say, Lord, I'm going to place it before you. Sometimes you can't even find the person with it, are you? I mean, there was something that happened to me when I was 6 years old that I will never be able to face the person that did that to me. And I can hold on to that. And I don't get, when I say that now, I don't get the, oh my gosh, I'm going back there again. Because I know that there was a day when I brought it to the Lord and I said, I'm not going to hold on to this anymore. I refuse. It's held me back. And they went on with their life. So God, I just ask you to forgive me. And Lord, I choose by faith to forgive them. And I ask you to help me to go ahead in my development. I don't want to be arrested development. There's so many things in the life of a Christian, I think, that will arrest our development. But scandal is a major one. A major one. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes and let me just ask you this. How many would say, with an upraised hand, and I am looking, would say to me, Brother Mike, I've got a scandal on. And you can think of it. You can raise your hand. Just about everybody in the room. Just about everybody in the room. Let's take that to the Lord. Lord, we come to you now. Father, as that bait, that meat got us into the hole, I want to now bring that meat to your table. I want to bring that scandal on to your table. I want to bring that scandal on to the cross. Father, I can feel justified in my anger. I can feel justified in my hurt. I can feel justified in so many ways. God, I don't want to feel justified. I want to be justified by you. Just as if it never happened. Lord, I bring this offense, I bring this scandal on to you, and I lay it down. I choose by faith to forgive the one who offended me, and I ask you, Lord, to forgive me for taking that bait. I want to move forward now. I want to be able to be free to be all that you've created me to be. I want to do all that you've created me to do. I'm going to come into all that you have for me to come into life forevermore. On this side of heaven, I want to come into it. Lord, I see the offense, and I see it as sin. Lord, I'm not going to be like Cain and take that offense and kill my brother. I'm not going to slay him with my mouth, or slay him with my words, or slay him with my thoughts, or slay him with my gossip, or slay him with my fists. I'm going to choose to learn the lesson I need to learn and grow. Lord, I'm not going to be like John the Baptist to know the truth, and because it didn't work my way, start questioning you. Oh, forgive me, Lord. How many times I've done that. I ask you, Father, to forgive me, because I know you are who you say you are. No doubt. God, we just look to you now. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. Some of us have many scandalons, Lord. Some of us have many opportunities for scandalons. And we will in the future. I just ask you, Lord, to cause us to remember that it's the bait of Satan. That I'm not going to take it. But I'm going to walk free. And I'm going to grow up and be all that you've called me to be. I ask you for that for everyone in the room. Lord, if there's something we don't remember, we need to remember to get it out and get it away. I thank you for bringing it up, that we'll be quick to confess it and receive your healing and your cleansing and walk free. Sometimes, Lord, just applying the truth is all it takes. And we apply the truth to your word, to the scandalons and the baits of Satan that have been out there in our lives. And we thank you for freedom and liberty. And everybody that agreed said, amen.
Amen.